Appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today. The following disclaimer: the following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to the presentation existed during the past 12 months. I'm employed as senior biostatistician at Ellicare Health Plan, the local initiative health authority of Los Angeles County, California. Ellicare is a public entity competing with commercial insurers in the Medicaid and SCHIP markets in LA County. I'll proceed according to the following outline. Learning objectives. In 2011, California obtained a CMS 1115 waiver to transition seniors and people living with disabilities from fee-for-service to managed care. And during the 12 months in 2011, starting in June of 2011, people with birthdays in May started transitioning in June and so forth, following each birth month throughout the year, and approximately 10,000 members per month would transition into LA Care from fee-for-service Medi-Cal. Whenever we have a displaced population, we offer to management the option, let's track them to see how they're faring during the transition. And so what we did is took the annual CAP survey and did an oversample of these members who were transitioning to see how they tracked, see how they fared compared to the other members in the health plan. And so this takes advantage of that sample to track how they're doing. So I'll describe how former fee-for-services patients rate the quality of healthcare services in managed care, and then contrast them with the general Medicaid population to identify where they had particular needs. Then I'll compare ratings of healthcare services by those patients who opted into managed care. These were seniors and people living with disabilities who are already in the health plan voluntarily. So they'll be compared to the non-SPD population and to the what I'm calling the mandatory SPD population, those who are transitioned by ruling from the state into our health plan. And then I'll identify healthcare services for which the mandatory SPD members and the adults and children as groups manifest different problems or needs. And then finally, describing the lessons learned in adapting services to accommodate the transitioning population. A little background on LA Care. We're mostly Medicaid, urban, two-thirds pediatric, often Spanish-speaking. We have a small area in the high mountain desert, which is almost like a rural healthcare delivery system, but mostly we're urban Los Angeles. We're a fairly large entity. As this population transition, those numbers are going to change from being two-thirds pediatric to where we have a large number now of adult seniors and people living with disabilities. So it's becoming two populations, moms and kids and disabled adults. So we had to adapt to fit that population. And as the state contemplates moving the dual eligibles in the same manner in 2013, this was sort of the leading edge of that transition. So it has changed the health plan and will change the health plan. I'm going to give a number of slides here, which I'll only read a few details from. This is going to be in the upload that gives a detailed account of how the survey was done, but I won't read every word on every slide. But the main points here are that in this oversample that we did of the members who transitioned from fee-for-service, 34% responded to the survey versus 37% for those SPD members who are already in the health plan versus 26% of the non-SPD, of the regular TANF population. So we got a decent response rate to this oversample. The sampling occurred as follows. CAPS is only given to members who have had enough time in the health plan to be eligible and able to rate the services. So we only survey those who have sufficient exposure to the services, so we know they're rating us and not their prior care that they were receiving before transitioning in. So approximately 2 months worth of transitioned members were in the oversample. That's 23,000 adults, and that's about 2,300 children who were eligible for the survey. The point here is that these are the first few months transition. We expected these to be carry the brunt of the transition, that as we learned better how to serve them, there were elaborate preparations for them, but still, in every transition, that's a challenge. And so these were the first 2 months of the first 20,000 adult members to come into the health plan. And so we anticipated they would have the toughest time. So in a sense, we're getting the worst of the worst experience rated in this oversample. So we're hoping over the next year, in next year's CAPS, we will survey the entire set of transition members so that we anticipate this is kind of the leading edge. And so we wanted to learn our lessons quick and soon by sampling them this year. That there was a challenge in identifying them because members are free to move in and out of managed care at the time, and they were free to change health plans at the time. So identifying this population was a bit of a challenge. What the state did was gave us a couple of ways. They gave us a birthday-based way of telling when the members were transitioned in, when they first arrived in the health plan in June 2011, if that was the first month ever for them, that's one way of assuming that they were, if they were in the right aid codes, that they were in that cohort that was being displaced. The other way of identifying them was through claims data that the state had provided to us of traditionally fee-for-service Medicaid SPD members. It turns out many members had been in managed care, transitioned into fee-for-service back again. So it's hard to identify them for sure, and I don't want to misclassify them, otherwise the scores that I'm reporting would have confounding. So it was important to figure out which method to use to identify them. And it matters that the groups, depending on how we defined it, the score differed. I mentioned that the adaptation touched about every operating department in the health plan, and I've listed some of the different departments that were touched by the change, where they launched programs to help prepare the plan and the provider network to give the members the services they would need to try to avoid any interruptions in care. The next few slides are demographic slides illustrating how this population differed from the health plan's population at large at the time. So the bold are areas in which this population was different, and the main takeaway point is there were a number of demographics on which they were different, gender, age, and so forth. This is adults. CAPS is administered to an adult population and to a child population where the parents respond. Children being 0 to age 17 on December 31st of 2011 for this survey that's being reported here. And so we survey the adult and child population separately. So I'll give all results in adult and child version. Some more demographics, ethnicity. I was intrigued by the differences and still don't have a good explanation for how this population differs and why. Demographically, just note that I'm noting the differences as things to study in the future. For children, again, they differed too on some of the same demographics. I was intrigued by the hollowing around age 3, 0 to 3. I was curious about that. Is that a carve out? Were those members who were covered in California Children's Services or something else where they didn't show up in our data? So there were some oddities that we noted in the survey. So I'm interested in those to find out more over time. And the other demographics for children, ethnicity, there were differences between the mandatory SPD and the regular Medi-Cal members that we had. I'm going back one slide. At the very bottom, 0.7% out of county. I was intrigued that any mandatory SPD members would appear from out of county. We do have members in other states, not just LA County, so they can go live anywhere they want, but if they were eligible for our coverage, they had our coverage. So I'm intrigued that any of the transitionees would be out of county, because how do we serve them when they're far away from our provider network? So we don't have control over who was transitioned in. They could choose to be in, or the state could randomly assign. So we're interested in finding out who they are and how to help them. In CAPS, there are the following areas. They're called domains of service quality. CAPS measures service quality. Members rate us on the quality of services that we're giving them. And so there's a health plan rating, health care received, personal doctor, specialist, and getting needed care is primarily authorizations for tests, treatments, and specialist visits. And then getting care quickly is the speed of access, and then provider communication, self-explanatory, health plan, customer service. So these are the domains on which the comparison is going to be done in the next few slides. Ways to improve information. this is kind of a pro forma slide describing how we can attach data to the survey and we can attach questions to the survey to kind of probe what is driving the ratings that members give us. This slide has to do with the different ways of identifying or different ways of measuring who the mandatory SPD population was, and it illustrates that the findings on the ratings differ depending on how I define it. And I picked method number two, which was the claims-based method, that if they had a claim and were identified by the state as being traditionally Medi-Cal fee-for-service and they were transitioned into the health plan, then we assume they were displaced by this policy. So that's the group I want to track. How are they doing compared to the other members? See a few nods there, so you're with me, and I'll move on. These are the first round of ratings. So here, the red indicates significantly lower than the other column. So the non-SPD were the TANF population. So that's who we were built to serve and help. And we always had about 40,000 members who had disabilities, and we're calling them voluntary SPD. They're voluntarily in the health plan. That column will appear in the next slide. But there were two areas which stood out, the health plan and the health care received. We were rated lower by the mandatory SPD population than the non-SPD population. So this was according to expectations that we would take a hit somewhere. The surprise was other areas like 68.9% versus 71% on personal doctor. We made an effort to try to get members assigned to the doctor they had when they were under fee-for-service to the extent that they had a medical home. We tried to maintain the medical home, so that kind of shows up in the ratings here. We didn't take much of a hit there. It's not a significant difference, 2 percentage points basically. And so we didn't see a systematic difference in anything but the top two ratings, which are kind of a general overall vote on did they like the health plan. So we took took the brand of, I imagine the members did not like being transitioned, and so where else are you going to comment that on that by the overall plan rating? So the interesting part there was that we didn't see red all the way down the second column, which would be the case if we were serving that population poorly all the way down. On the gray areas, those were areas screened, gated questions where not every member was eligible to answer it. You could only rate specialist services if you sought them. So if a member sought specialist services, they passed the screening question and got into the question. So the gray tended to have low sample size, so I would call that inconclusive. These are areas where even the difference I don't see as statistically reliable because the sample size is fairly low. Not enough members sought that service to have a reasonable number in there to do statistical testing. But the ones that are black are areas that a significant difference should have been found if there was one. And so it was interesting, only two findings had a significant difference, and it was significantly lower. But I am interested, even in the black ones where there wasn't significant difference, the mandatory SPD population tended to be a little lower. So that suggests when we do the survey again next year, we'll get a truer snapshot of how are we doing. Did we come up to speed? Given that the first round of members had a generally negative finding on at least two measures, did we improve? Did we adapt? Did we learn our lessons from the first 2 months? So it's not quite as bad as we expected, but still shows area for work. Now, the next one is with the voluntary SPDs added back in. This was a surprise. In 2006, we did a study of a similar CAPS survey of the SPD population at the time, and the surprise there was on only two ratings did they score us worse than the TANF population. This looked like a population that was not all that dissatisfied, that managed care was able to serve this population. The two they scored us lower on in 2006 were getting needed care, which is authorization, or access to specialists, and the other was coordination of care, which are two areas where the seniors and people with disabilities would use services more heavily and be more likely to encounter difficulties or put the provider network to the test. So in this case, the voluntary SPD, the surprise there is, why is that green? That means it's significantly better than whoever else is bold red in that column. So take the health plan, for instance. The voluntary SPDs way outscored the mandatory SPDs. So these are SPD members already in the health plan, and they outscored the TANF population, which also outscored the mandatory SPD, hence it's yellow. in that case, there were two significant differences. When voluntaries were highest, non-SPD were next, and the mandatories were lowest. So it kind of bears out the same theme. But the surprise there is that the voluntary SPDs, why did they score better than the TANF population? And it's I'm merely a statistician, not an expert on this population. The guess I tend to hear is that a member with a disability is a reality of their life, and they have learned to navigate the plan and maybe navigating it better than the TANF population, which tends to connect with the healthcare system only on those occasions when they're sick. And so this population strikes me as satisfiable. So that's the good news. The one part there that doesn't show up in numbers like these is that many of them, a sizable subset, it's not the majority, but a sizable subset, are with one of our plan partners, a contracted health plan where we send our members to their providers, happens to be a very high performer. And so they score well everywhere in every comparison we look at with any population. So they have a disproportionate share of the SPD members. So naturally, that group would tend to score a little higher, but their population is capped. So we can't route many of the mandatory SPD population into that plan partner. So even though the good news is this is a population that can be satisfied, that can be served well, it doesn't mean we can put the members we would like to, the transitioning members, into that population. But it does say there's a model out there that works, that perhaps we can lever the other plan partners, the other contracts we have, to try to emulate what they can of that system's superior performance. So it's a mixed story, but it intrigued me that the voluntary SPD population tended to outscore everybody else. That was a bit of a surprise. For the children, same sorts of comparisons. Much lower sample size in the voluntary SPD and mandatory, so a lot of this is grayed out because it just wasn't large enough to really test in any conclusive way. But wherever it was testable, the mandatory SPD scored a little worse on health plan. In one case, getting needed care. That is, I do not know the mystery there because they outscored the voluntary SPD population. And on coordination of care, the other surprise there was that not a surprise, really, that the non-SPD population outscored poor children, because our network was originally serving mainly moms and kids, so it doesn't surprise us to see the TANF population doing better in that case, poor children. Sort of summary, then. It was a set of mixed findings. We expected we would take a hit from this transition population, because we've seen before whenever a company would go out of business and members would get transitioned within our health plan to another plan partner, whenever a disruption occurs, it tends not to make people happy. And so we anticipated taking a hit, but we took much less of a hit than we thought we would in these results. So that's encouraging. On a few domains, clearly we have work to do. The SPD members who are voluntary, that was an interesting finding. I'll move on to stay within the time limit. Some insights, and in blue is sort of the takeaway point here. The results are less negative than we thought. Those who transitioned earliest and experienced the brunt of change are the ones we're reporting here. One surprise. It's possible that SPD, and I guess I repeated that point, it's possible SPD members have more contact and therefore can navigate the system better than their TANF equivalents. The thing that always interests me in the survey and with this work is actionability. I do the survey, is the part I'm responsible for, and I would like to see the results not sit on the shelf. So how do I get these findings to other departments that can act on them, to do something with them? So the lessons learned in initial challenges from the transition were accommodating large numbers of members in the transition. I like the fact that people wanted this group surveyed, so that I was given the go-ahead to survey them this year, and in the coming year we'll survey them now that they have all transitioned. Maintaining and coordinating care was a challenge. Augmenting provider networks to handle complex conditions. Stabilizing members whose conditions weren't well managed under fee-for-service. Informing and educating new members how to navigate the system. Those were the challenges, the things that could be acted on. Finally, a recap of the learning objectives. The earliest patients to transition gave mixed scores. So it wasn't as bad as it could have been, but we're glad to learn the lessons of where we need to focus to do better, particularly when the dual eligibles transition in a similar way in a year. than contrasting them against the general Medicaid population. No areas of service stood out systematically for adults versus children. Displaced patients scored general measures lower, like health plan or all health care, but not the specific areas of care like provider communication or ability to get appointments. So there wasn't something systematic between adults and children. So it appears that on the adult side, we had augmented our network well enough. Then comparing ratings of healthcare services by members who opted into managed care, the voluntary SPDs gave a higher score than the mandatory, or than the TANF in many cases. And identifying healthcare services for which adult and children manifest different problems or need. Getting care quickly for adults was an area we need to focus on. That's true of the TANF population as well, as more people come into the system due to the Healthcare Reform Act. And then coordination of care for children merits special attention. And then describing lessons learned. Early preparations help. Adaptiveness is important. Some members transitioned before they were required to. That was a surprise in some cases, that they were already with us when the transition kicked in. Systems, people would appear with certain needs that we were unable to give them a heads up. So coordinating with the state, that would be a good lesson learned for the duals transition. The SPD population is not automatically less satisfied, and so finding how to emulate the best practices in the top performing health plan would be a set of lessons we could take away from this. And I thank you for your time.